Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, and I write for all the Greenspun Media Group titles. Hi, Dish.
Hi, Catsy.
I'm so excited.
You're excited. I'm excited to see you too. We hardly see each other anymore. We're like two train wrecks crossing.
two trains ready to wreck.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
The night. Whatever
exactly.
The song is.
So it's always good to see you. And you're looking very handsome in your pink today.
I'm having one of those days. We're recording on a Monday this week, and I'm just having a Monday.
So there you go.
I went to the office today. This is how my day started. I woke up early, went into the office, got all set up. You know, I got a new office in the office. I'm all excited about it. I get set up. I open my computer bag. No computer. Laptop is on
my
nightstand.
That's kind of necessary in your line of work.
Yeah, I can't fake my way through that one. So I had to go all the way back home. And I've been off by about 10 minutes, 15 minutes all day long. Because of that.
Well, that happens.
I've got a headache too, but that's not your problem.
Well, I'll have you know that I'm not as angry as I was in our last episode. I'm kind
did that
of
ever
like,
come to a conclusion?
Yeah, I just canceled and didn't go.
I mean, was there ever any closure with...
Oh, yeah, it was, I missed you, they wish you would have been, blah, 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 but who cares? I mean, it was all good. It was all good. I had a wonderful Thursday night here in Las Vegas, and everything was great.
Plenty to do in Las Vegas.
Exactly. So I'm actually a much more refreshed. Pretty much other than Friday night, I pretty much slept to the weekend away. So, but I did miss something last Thursday in Los Angeles, which is the LA Lupus Celebrity Poker Tournament. I completely spaced on it that I was supposed to go to that. So, so again, lupus, obviously, I suffer from lupus. So it's a charity very, very close to my heart, my body, actually.
Right.
And so I missed that. It was fun, but they had a lot of celebrities come out, and it was fun.
Lupus is...
I was told I was not there.
The lupus, if you are in Las Vegas and want to be a part of the lupus philanthropic effort, Los Angeles is pretty much the
Yeah, I mean, we have them here. I hate to say that we don't, but I mean, LA Lupus definitely brings in such a huge
They're
volume.
They're a big regional
So, I mean, I have found myself involved with the people. They have helped me very much, the people at LA Lupus. So I am, or Lupus LA, however you want to say it. And they are the ones that I go to for a lot of support and help medically. So, but I want to talk a little bit about you, Katz. You have been writing some pretty interesting articles.
Yeah.
Michael Graham was one. And also, we haven't talked about yet on the show. Our first guest, Holly Madison, is officially leaving Peep Show with her pregnancy.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Holly on being pregnant.
Congratulations, Holly. She has had a terrific run as the front woman for Peep Show since the summer of 2009, if you can believe that, 3 years. And she's expecting. She announced a few weeks ago that she's, I think it was 3 weeks ago, that she's 12 weeks pregnant. And that her last day...
That's a lot of math.
She's pregnant. Second trimester.
Okay.
That's what you need to know there. And her last scheduled appearance in Peep Show is October 21st. And it's the end of an era for that show. And they're trying to... Originally, she was going to be out of the show at the end of December. And they're trying mightily to find someone who can fulfill the role of
Fulfill the G-string, as it is.
To fill the G-string, metaphorically speaking, occupied Holly Madison. So there's a lot of... there's a lot of names have been brought up and come and gone. And as I've written... there's Carmen Electra is one of them that they've been interested in. Jenny McCarthy is one that they have been interested in. Those names right now are not currently involved in the talks. They're going to have to find somebody who's got some stage experience, which is a requirement for the person who replaces Holly,
yes.
The producers told me, and who is willing to do what they do topless. In the same way that Holly is topless.
Yes.
So it's not an easy fit.
And Josh Strickland, though, is still remaining
Josh
in the show.
Still wants to be in the show. And Scott Zeiger, the producer of Base Entertainment, told me he is still contracted and they want him in the show.
Well, so yeah, that's he is, you know, just as equal star as Holly in the show. Because, his vocals, and as well as Shayza, the Peep Diva, they definitely are the heart and soul of
the principals. And they also lost earlier than this that didn't get a lot of attention, but I did write a note about it. Paula Castleton left the show.
She left?
Yeah, she left the show a few weeks ago.
I go away for a couple months.
I know. It was, and she did it in not a big way, but that is a crucial position in that show and a crucial person to have to replace, because she filled all the roles.
She literally understudied every role.
Understudied every role, except for Josh, and was a great person, and she kept everyone, all the ducks lined up in Peep Show, and you can imagine it's not an easy show to keep track of. So Paula's back in New York chasing her Broadway dream, and had her going away gig probably about 2-3 months ago now. But there's some changes being made and being accounted for in Peep Show. So we need to get to our guests.
Yes.
This is a show we are going to be promoting called Vinyl. It stars Dominic Allen and Lee Zimmerman with special guest superstar Denny Lane. He's the same Denny Lane who was in Wings when Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney started that band, and he's had a deep, deep history in rock and roll beyond that. All three of them will be joining us after Josh Bell, so stick around, because we will.
Hi, this is Ben Gillette of Penatelli, listening to Cats with the Dish. Of course, I've been known to lie.
Why all the skulking and sneaking? You've wandered from the proper path, haven't you? The problems you have.
I don't have any problems. I don't know what I told you, but if you have work for me to do, I can do it.
That's Philip Seymour Hoffman and Joaquin Phoenix in The Master, the highly anticipated new film from director Paul Thomas Anderson. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Loosely based on the early days of Scientology, The Master features Hoffman as the leader of a cult-like movement called The Cause, and Phoenix as a troubled military veteran that he takes under his wing. There's a lot to admire in Anderson's technical craft, and the stars do a lot of impressive heavy lifting in their performances. But The Master is less than the sum of its parts. It's a frustrating and elusive film that never quite connects its big themes and its intimate character study. I give The Master 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Trouble with the Curve, starring Clint Eastwood as an aging baseball scout trying to reconnect with his adult daughter, played by Amy Adams.
You don't even like baseball.
I love baseball. You know I love it. I never even wanted to be a lawyer. I did that for you so that you would be happy with me and that you would approve of me and then maybe you'd keep me around.
I did what I thought was right. I just didn't want you to have life in the cheap seats, that's all.
They were the cheap seats.
Trouble with the Curve features corny father-daughter drama, a predictable romantic comedy arc for Adams and a young player turned scout played by Justin Timberlake, and cartoonish villainy from a smarmy bureaucrat trying to replace Eastwood's instincts with computer analysis. It's all ridiculously overstated and completely obvious, bolstered by lame jokes and flat dialogue. I give Trouble with the Curve 2 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Joining us now are three individuals who are part of Vinyl, which is going to be a rock and roll showcase set for September 28th at the Theater at Las Vegas Hotel and Casino. I almost slipped and said Las Vegas Hilton there. LVH Theater. They will play the music of The Beatles, Foreigner, The Who, Jimi Hendrix, and the Moody Blues, among many others. Welcome into the studio, Dominic Allen and Lee Zimmerman, and on the phone, the great Denny Lane. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week.
Well, thank you for calling me great.
You are. And all I have to say is I'm already so smitten with Denny just listening to him before we started. Every time he says bloody hell, I'm like, oh. I now have a crush.
All right. Now you're going to get sick of me saying it. All right.
No, I know. Are you kidding me? I have a crush now.
Which is interesting because he was born in North Carolina.
So. Or in his case, bloody North Carolina.
North Carolina, Birmingham.
I just want to listen to him talk.
As we say, Englishmen have a 7% advantage over those of us in the States just because of their accent. So that's what I believe.
I give it more like 20%.
I'm trying to work that out metrically.
Yeah, right. It's like a miles and kilometers thing. So tell us about Vinyl, first of all, Dominic. I first started talking to you about this show. This was to be and is going to be something of a comeback for you from a health issue. So talk about that and how this originally came into play in that context.
Vinyl, I started 3 years ago. We premiered it in town, and it's with my 10-piece band.
Right. This was at Suncoast.
At the Suncoast, that's right. Yeah, we headlined there for 3 years. And also at the Hard Rock on the Strip.
Right.
Across from the Monte Carlo. And we did Toys for Tots, and we did all that stuff. And anyway, Denny, who is a friend, came to see the show and very much enjoyed it. Thankfully, partly because I comped the tickets, but that always helps.
All the way now.
And Denny said, he sent me a text and said, because I had asked him, I said, hey, man, anytime, I would love to have you if you would ever consider it. You know, this is the man who formed the Moody Blues and had their first hit, Go Now.
Right.
And then Paul McCartney calls him up and says, okay, the Beatles are over. I want to start my own thing.
Rightfully, Danny tried to refer to you as a co-founder of Wings also, right? I mean, you were one of the first members of Wings at all, right, with Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney.
Well, yeah, it wasn't Wings when we started. It was just a few guys getting together with somebody's wife and seeing what the hell was happening.
So. Touring in a van, right? Were you guys running around in a van? Yeah.
Okay, well, that sounds like something different.
I knew him, though.
Yes.
I knew Paul well before that.
Okay.
I mean, we used to go and see people together, you know, like bands and new American artists coming to town. So I knew him anyway.
And Denny was, you know, for musicians on this side of the Atlantic and for music aficionados like yourself, John, you know, everyone watched Rock Show and had it on VHS and and had Wings Over America and you know, all of, you know, Band on the Run, all of those brilliant, brilliant albums. And so to actually have the opportunity of standing on a stage and creating music with someone like Denny, for me, it's thrilling, it's exciting, it's musically challenging, you know? And I said, absolutely, can we do it at any point, at any time? And he said, yeah. And so we booked originally at LVH on July the 6th.
Right.
And we had to cancel that. And then move it to another date, which we had to reschedule again. But finally, we're here September 28th, Friday night at 8 o'clock at LVH with the band, the full band, and my wife, Lee, of course.
Right.
Incredible Lee Zimmerman.
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. Lee.
Hello, Lee.
Hi, Denny.
The most stunning,
how are you,
beautiful.
How are you?
Yeah, we know her mostly in Las Vegas from her run into producers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this time you'll see me as something very new. The next Linda McCartney, apparently. I'm the stand-in for the third voice.
But a bit taller.
I
was blown away by you and your daughter that night. I told you that. I mean, you did a great job.
Thank you,
Denny.
Never
mind about Dominic. We know he's... you know, it was really, really good. I was well enjoyed it, you know. So, I mean, that was it for me. It's not just the music, it's the way you put it across that's important, you know, make everybody feel good. So
that's right.
That
thank
was
you.
I was almost wanting to say, hey, I want to do this next, but I was a little bit embarrassed to ask, to be honest, but there you go. I got around to it.
I'm glad we figured it out because, the essential idea of Vinyl is to take music, classic rock, that you've heard before.
On vinyl.
But do it in, on vinyl, but do it in a different way. So you're hearing it again for the first time.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, Jimi Hendrix with horns, some of the best horn players in town, and Wings with horns, and Moody's, and Stones, and all of that stuff. So, and kind of things in my musical mind are always twisted, so one song leads to another song that leads to another song, and you go, hey, wow, I never thought
you both
of that.
Have varied backgrounds. In your mediums. I mean, you performed with Liberace in your youth as a prodigy and were on the road with him.
That's right.
And then you also have this affiliation, a brief affiliation with Foreigner, and that is happening. So you're kind of mixed anyway. And that was kind of the genesis for what you're doing.
Well, to me, all that does is like give you more ingredients to throw into the pot.
Plus, for me, I think that looking at Denny and Dominic, together on stage. The idea of that was always really exciting to us because they're both such creative artists. They're not just, you know, trained musicians and you know, backup men of any kind. They are down front entertainers who are very, you know, they're storytellers when they're on stage. They're not just singing a song. They write, they orchestrate, they arrange, they perform. Denny and Dominic both play multiple instruments. So it's so much bigger than that, and you just don't get a chance to see that anymore.
Right, right. Not at that level.
And it's kind of cool, like when you do Live and Let Die, you've got the guy who played bass with George Martin in the studio.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, but like playing guitar this time. So I mean, you see, every time I do shows like this, I do sort of do them differently anyway. You know, you don't stick to the record. It's not like a tribute band. You do your version.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And, you know, and that's what's good. That's what people like. I don't think you know, nothing against tribute bands. They're fantastic. And, you know, but we do the same song, but, you know, we do them a little bit different. And that's because we are kind of trying to progress and not just, you know, stick to the old rules and stuff.
Yeah,
right. It's all open to interpretation.
But
yeah.
I want to go off a little bit here. That speaking of guitar, and Dominic mentioned Jimi Hendrix, and also Dominic told me that you have quite a little story about Jimi Hendrix, which I'm dying to hear.
Please, how many times? This is like somebody said to Joey Mullen from Bad Singer. George Harrison said, "You know, that's a great song, that Joey, but you'll be playing it for the rest of your life." And this is a little bit like this story. Well, I did the Jimi Hendrix show at the Savile Theatre, which was owned by Brian Epstein, etc., etc. And Paul and John and all those were in the audience. And I was doing the thing with the string band, two violins, two cellos, and, you know, a folk rock sort of trio. Anyway, you know, I closed the first half. Jimmy was standing aside the stage there, you know, and when the club later on at the Speakeasy Club, he came up to me and, "Hey, man, I thought your guitar player was great." I said, "That was me, Jimmy." "Oh, sorry, man." That was a compliment. And, you know, he's a nice guy. You know, I knew Noel really well. He's bass player. I knew Noel and Mitch really well. So that's how I got friendly with all that lot. You know, the Animals people. I know all those people.
I have to say, it's pretty incredible that we actually have on our show, Cats, somebody that could say, you know, John and Paul and the rest of the guys are on. Like, I mean, like, it's just a throw up, like, to us, you know, that's just ridiculous. Oh, Jimmy's he's a great guy. Like, yeah.
You know, it's interesting in musicians of who came up in your generation, Denny, the great ones, they all seem to have a Jimi Hendrix story.
Well,
Pete Townsend has a Jimi Hendrix story. Paul tells the story all the time from the stage about Jimi Hendrix playing Sgt. Pepper the Monday after it was released.
Yeah.
Eric Clapton has a story about Jimi Hendrix asking for Eric to tune his guitar from the stage. You know, it's kind of like a little Hall of Fame you've got. Yeah, you know, it's like a little Hall of Fame.
It's the comic
group.
Equivalent of Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, everybody
has. You know what? All musicians are comedians, really. For the comedians, to be honest. You know. Anyway, the first time I saw Jimmy was I was with Paul. We went down to the Bag of Nails Club, and you know, he came out, and all the people were there. Everybody in the town was in for that. And because Chaz Chandler was a friend of ours, and he conned us all into going down. But, you know, it was a really good night. So, you know, when Dylan was the same, we went to see Dylan together. We went to see the Birds. And, you know, once they get the seal of approval from one of the Beatles, everybody, you know, Jose Feliciano, it kind of helps their careers, but they have to be good, you know, to pass the test, you know what I mean?
Right.
The British audience and all that kind of thing.
Right. And
but,
you're,
yeah.
And you're still keeping it alive even here today. Do you live in Las Vegas, Denny? I know you spend a lot of time here.
I do have a house there. I've been on the East Coast more than the last couple of years because I'm doing a lot of stuff here. But, yeah.
But do you hear what's going on here? This is what's going to happen on stage.
Yeah.
This is the great thing, is that they're, like, going to talk about some fantastic story about meeting these fantastic and working with these amazing people. And then, okay, well, why don't we just play that tune? All right? That is what this show is going to be.
Anything could happen, really. But there again, you know, you have to stick to a structure in some ways. I mean, it's not like we've rehearsed a lot. We've got some kind of guideline.
What happened?
I know it'll be good. It'll be a natural thing, you know.
Yeah.
It'll change. We're not those kind of people who just want to just play the same stuff over and over again. I'm hoping we get it a little as a residency or something, so we can do more, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to ask, you know, Dominic Anley that, I mean, what is the end game for this? It seems like it's great for a one-off, but would you be able to assemble this particular show and take it to a showroom around
on the strip or off the strip?
Yeah,
that's the plan. And take it on the road. And there's a great showroom at the In-N-Out Burger across the street. I mean, wherever there's
free
a
burgers.
Stage.
But that's the, that burgers. Is the great thing about the format, though. It is that it's you know, it's got its core and its base, but it's loose enough to allow another name entertainer who's in town that they both know to come in and make music. If Dominic's on the road or Denny's on the road, somebody else is coming in, and it just keeps it alive and different each time it's done.
Right. There's a club now, since you first told me about this, Dominic, that's open, called Vinyl, at the Hard Rock Hotel.
Isn't that interesting? Considering I had two meetings with them a couple of years ago and gave them the whole package and the concept for Vinyl, it's like,
That'll teach you to be a nice guy, Dominic.
Exactly.
I didn't want to open up a can of Vinyl here, but but I mean, it's term,
true.
And in that instance, they were going for the same vibe that you are with the name Vinyl, reminding you of that, of a certain particular era of music.
Well, we did have billboards on 95 way back then.
3 years ago.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Your Vinyl predates their Vinyl.
Yeah.
Your Vinyl was stamped before their Vinyl. I know that. I can verify
that.
Thank you.
You know what? I don't think this is a bad thing, because you can always turn around and say, well, I thought of it first. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
You know what I mean? It's the way it works. And it's good. If you thought of a good name, then everybody stole it, then fine. You know, that's a compliment.
Yeah. It's like having a band called the Moody Light Blues or something.
Now, if you could just get the residuals for that, that would be great, right?
Well, you know what?
Residuals. What's that?
What are they?
Denny, I also, speaking about residuals, you're going to be getting a lot more in because of that remastering you were telling me about, right? For Wings.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, what is up with that?
Let's put it this way. I never count my chickens before they hatch, you know.
Paul McCartney can afford to pay you. He's worth $1 billion.
No. He doesn't pay me. I get paid.
Residual.
He can make it
happen, can't he?
He's not my boss. I'm not having that.
Not having that.
You know, the thing is...
I was trying to hang him out.
Yeah, we still work together, you know, on stuff, and this is what we're doing. We've got this coming out. And I just did an interview with a great guy from Rolling Stone, who's obviously an experienced, you know, writer. And he spoke to Paul today, I think, for an hour. And we're piecing it together, you know. And then we'll go on to do other things in the future. But, you know, it's to keep the legacy alive, really. I mean, these things don't, they just keep the name around. And it's good fun. All the remixing. I do that with a lot of my old stuff. You remix stuff, and you hear things you didn't hear before.
This is
up to date, you know.
This is pegged at the 35th anniversary of Rock Show, Denny. Is that right?
This
remaster? Somewhere in there?
I'm not that old, am I? I deny it.
You were a child up there. I will tell you that about Rock Show, folks, if you're a casual Wings fan or Beatles fan, if you watch Rock Show, and when it comes out remastered, you should take it in. Listen to it in Rock. Denny Lane was an integral part of Wings. Huge front and center performer in Wings. And I don't know if a lot of people realize how important you were to that band. Pretty much it was you, Paul, and Linda who recorded Band on the Run, right?
Yeah.
Just the three of you.
Well, the thing was, like I said, I knew Paul. And I think that's why he called me. After seeing that show, I was into something progressive. And he called me because he wanted somebody he could talk with and without being in awe of him, you know, in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And Denny Sywell had done Ram. So I met him up in Scotland. And Linda, of course, was the wife who took great pictures. But, you know, Paul said, why don't you join in the band? And we're just sitting in some old... you know, some old barn up on the farm with some equipment that's been sent up from EMI, and just kind of, you know, did it as a fun thing to start with, playing all the old standards, and then it went from there. So, I mean, Linda improved, you know, and became part of the whole thing, and it was a good progressive thing without too much pressure, you know.
Right.
I promise I'll improve, Denny. I promise. and then we can all progress.
Well, is she good enough to play second keyboard? Is that?
No, I can't do that. I will be there in voice only.
This idea, I want to get back to your place in the universe, Dominic, because when we were talking about this before the July date, even you had some health issues.
Yeah, what Denny doesn't even know about this.
Oh,
so this is gonna.
Oh, I didn't mean open channels.
No, that's cool. I was born with a congenital heart defect, a heart murmur called mitral valve prolapse, and when I was 11 and diagnosed, the doctor said, I would suggest that you go into an industry that doesn't have a lot of stress.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, I went into the music business.
That natural.
And never had a problem. You know, always kind of known for running around on stage and high energy and going crazy.
Huge energy, yeah.
Thank you. And was feeling great, feeling absolutely great. It actually asymptomatic, which is indicative of this kind of problem. And in January, I did my tests at Cedars, and my numbers weren't so good. And the doctor said, you know what? We think it's time that we should fix this.
Uh-huh.
It's not like, you know, a hangnail. This is like your heart. Hello. But they said, no, we think you should do something. And I said, well, you know, maybe towards the end of the year. And Lee, of course, in her beautiful way, said no, now.
Yeah, that's now.
So we had it done, and I booked the July the 6th LVH concert. It was exactly 6 weeks from the time that I had the surgery done.
It was an important date.
It was an important date, and I thought, okay, this will be cool. I'll keep it a secret from everybody, and then I'll come out on stage and let them know. And the only two people I told, Clint Holmes and you. And, of course, so everyone in town knew because I told Clint Holmes. But
not the writer. The writer didn't let it out.
You kept it a bloody secret.
I never had the conversation
with
Clint
about it. Well, the
interesting
thing about this is if anybody out there is listening and knows anything about heart,
have a mitral valve prolapse.
Yeah, well, so it's a leaky valve, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now at Cedars, they're doing a robotic repair, which is not an open chest. It's through the rib cage. It's still open heart surgery. They stop your heart. It's all the scary stuff. But they are doing it so routinely now. And he was up walking the floor the next morning.
Wow.
He was walking 3 miles on day 4 when he was released from the hospital. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. It was an amazing recovery.
I've done a couple of concerts.
Pete with a robot now. That's not fair.
You can bring sticks into the show and play Mr. Roboto. You can make that one of the.
Well, you know, Denny, you know me. I'm going to milk it for all it's worth, applause wise.
Well, it'll be a comeback of sorts, still, even with the even in the.
It will.
State. It will. You haven't.
You know what? It'll be for me. I've done concerts since then, and I have now more energy than I ever had. And
which
so
is a lot.
Great.
You always had a lot of energy.
It's crazy now.
Thank you, Trish.
All right, you all, we have to wrap it up. Thanks very much, Dominic Allen, Lee Zimmerman, and the great Denny Lane. Denny, it's a pleasure to have you on the other end of this call, and I can't wait. I think I met you at the Love premiere, I believe, a few years ago. It was one of the Love at the Mirage. I think you were walking the red carpet. And I was the one who couldn't think of any questions to ask you.
Something like that. I don't believe I was there. I must have been there in body,
was
but not in mind.
At the party, were you there? Were you?
I didn't go to that. No.
There's a
it
person.
It must have been somebody else. Maybe that Ringo guy.
It was Ringo. Ringo was playing Denny Lane in the Legends show.
There you go.
Don't start me up. It's the end of the show. Don't stop me.
I won't.
I'm just thrilled that we're going to have a real living legend playing with us.
And great live music in Las Vegas, which we always support, especially when you all are behind it. It's September 28th, Las Vegas Hilton Theater, LVH Theater now. Look on the website for ticket information. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers. Good thanks, Dan. So we love Las Vegas. We love Las Vegas.